You ever heard somebody, yeah, I've lost my faith, trying to get my faith back? I've heard that a lot. I just met a young man the other day who said, well, I've turned away from my faith and I've lost it. I don't know. I know I need to get back to it. I need to get back to my faith. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. And as I listened to him, I tried to get in a word or two about, well, you know, faith is a gift of God. You've got exactly the faith that God wants you to have when he wants you to have it. And whatever faith you got is perfect because it's a gift from him. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed. You ever seen some mustard seed? They're pretty small. I went and looked at one. You almost have to have a magnifying glass to do that. We've come to our fourth in a series of messages where we're looking at the characteristics describing the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. In our first message, we looked at regenerating grace, the new birth, by the life-giving power of Christ alone, and only those who are chosen in Christ before the world was. We also looked at justifying grace, being justified through faith by the blood of our Savior, washing each of his elect as white as snow. God looks upon us and sees the blood of his spotless Lamb of God and remembers our sin no more. In our last message, we covered sanctifying grace as those for whom God the Father gave to the Son, God gave to God the Son, that they would be set apart from the world and brought into a holy union with himself, to be seen as brothers and sisters in Christ, co-heirs to the riches of God. All blessings in heavenly places are in our Lord Jesus Christ, and they all come from him, and they all point us to him. Today we look to the grace our Savior bestows on us by preserving us, keeping us from falling away. Can you really lose your faith?
No.
If it's God's given faith, he's not going to let you lose it. Why would Christ let you lose anything? When our faith comes from the true and living God, it's a perfect gift. And he gives us just as much as we need to get through whatever it is we're going through. As we saw in our Bible study, talking about those who have lost loved ones, especially their own children, what got them through that? Grace. Grace to look into God's Word and see the promises of God that don't go away and can't be changed. Promises that God gives his people. They will be my people and I will be their God. Not maybe, not might, not depending on what you do, but they will be my people and I will be their God. That's the word of God speaking to his people. This morning our title is Preserving Grace. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 49 if you would please. While you're turning there, allow me to read from Philippians 1:6. Now, Paul is addressing the church at Philippi with salutations of love. He's thanking our God for their remembrance of his needs. He had witnessed them growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior, and as such, he wanted to assure them of this very point of grace which we are looking at today. He says to the Philippians, be confident of this very thing. Be confident in this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to start something in you and, oh, you know, okay, never mind, you've done something, that's more than I can handle. No. Our Lord comes to a dead human being. Bones, as we saw in the book of Ezekiel. A valley of bones. And he gives life. Everlasting life. Spiritual life. Perfect. And it's seen as perfect by God the Father, because God the Father sees the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross for that person, for his elect, for his people, for his loved ones. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who begins a good work in anyone is Christ Jesus himself. He is the one who gives life, as we saw in regenerating grace. If God be for us, then who can be against us, as we read in Romans 8:31. Is that not what our Lord says to us, each and every one of us? If God is for me and on my side, can anything be against me? That goes for all of his elect. And as we walk through this life, and we see, as we read earlier in Bible study of Mike's poem, or not poem, it was an article. As we go more and more along in this life, and we see all the troubles that we've gotten through already, we see our Lord bringing us through those troubles. He's not going to leave us. We become more and more confident of that very thing. As we look more into his word and see how much he does love us, giving himself for us, we become more and more confident that he's the one who's keeping us. It is my Savior that keeps John Reeves from going off into the deep end of the pool. And I try hard. I'm as stiff-necked as anybody is. Many, many times do I have to learn things the hard way. And it hurts. But yet my Lord will never, never let me go. I may stumble and crush my nose, hurt an elbow, whatever. But he's always there to keep me from falling into that pit. That pit that I once was walking straight at. He's always there to turn his people. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Is that not correct? First Peter 1:5. Speaking of God's elect. That's how he starts that chapter. Elect. Those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's our Lord speaking to each and every one of us. I come before you knowing that I have nothing. I have nothing but God's word. That's all I can give you, is what God's word is. He's the one who keeps by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I know I have nothing. And I pray the Lord to give me something to say. Take the words. Give me the words to speak that will comfort your people. And here's the words. Those of you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If God be for you, then who or what can be against you? Are you in Isaiah? Look at verse 7, if you would, please. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in acceptable time have I heard thee, And then in the day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause the inherit and the desolate desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs of water, and shall be and shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted.
Amen.
God has mercy on his afflicted. Now, if you would turn over to the Psalms, the 30th Psalm, if you would. The troubles of this world still afflict most of us, some more than others, maybe even so more than most. I believe, but we deal with them most differently, don't we? We turn them over to our strength. I don't know about you folks, but during these last elections, I saw what little bit of news I did watch and saw the way things were going, and I just said, Lord, it's in your hands. And whether those elections turned out the way I wanted to them or not, it was still God's way. It was his providential way that was accomplished, and I am glad for his providential way. Imagine what it was like for Israel in the time when Jerusalem was conquered. God's people watching another country, Babylon, come in and just wipe everything out. Not just wipe everything out, but break everything. Tear down the walls, tear down the temple, crush the rocks to powder. Imagine what that must have been like. You think God's people praised their Savior? I know they did. Because God's people know that he rules over everything and that all things are for our good. He guides us. But he not only guides us, he keeps us. He keeps his people looking to him, praising him for all. I'm sure they were stressed out on the whole thing. I'm sure there was a lot of stress. I know I would be totally stressed out if that was happening to us here in these United States. That's why the political situation can stress a lot of so many people out right now. They don't stop to realize that our Lord is in control of it. He rules it as he sees fit, and it's for the good of his people. Even when we don't see it. God has mercy on his afflicted. We turn our troubles over to our strength. We turn it over to our strong man, our captain. Are you in the 30th Psalm? I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. I have extolled thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Remember, our subject is preserving grace. David is crying out, Lord, you have kept me, you have preserved me from the things that I could have been walking in, the paths that I could have been going. Thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Praise ye the Lord for keeping us. In my prayer earlier, did I not say, and I felt it from the heart, Lord, thank you for not leaving me to myself, because I know where I would go. I go right back to the place where a pig goes. Where does a pig go? Right into the mud and wallers in it. That's their nature, and that was our nature before the Lord changed it. Before the Lord gave us a new heart. Giving us the desire to seek after him. And then keeping us in that desire. Preserving us when we're weak. Oh, my faith gets weak. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. David's faith got very weak. You know what? Just hold your place there for just a moment. Where was I? It was right there. Turn over to the 22nd Psalm. Just a couple of pages to the left. And let's look at that. You ever feel like this? You ever get this feeling in you? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, this is a prophetic statement speaking of Christ on the cross. But this is also David feeling it right there in himself. David is experiencing this very feeling right here. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, for thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. What does it say over in the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, our faith can get really small. We can feel like the Lord has left us to ourselves at times. But oh, for the joy that he gives us when we can sing in verse 5 back in 30. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled, and I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. This is preserving grace. This is our Lord being gracious to his people. Giving us the joy of looking to him when we are in these troubles. When we go through the fire that swoops through our town. We can sing gladness because we know our Lord is in control of it. And his purpose will be done. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you would, please. You see, it's our very nature to look to our own strength. This is the battle between our flesh and our spirit. We look to our own strength many, many times. And oh, how it is when we get older and we see that strength leaving our body, we can see that we never really had any of our own. It's our very nature. And oh, how quickly we do look to our own, especially when we succeed at something. Look what I did today. I did something I've never done before. See how great that was? You know, I got to tell you, I felt like that one time when I did some construction work. A friend of mine said, John, stop being a sissy. It's not that hard. Go and do it. And he was right. But I walked away. See this? Look what I did here. That turned out pretty good, didn't it? That's our nature. That's what our flesh does. It gets in the way of our spirit saying, look what God gave me the gift to do. Look what God gave Judy. He gave her an awesome gift, the gift to play the piano in a beautiful way. He gave our brother Mike Lovelace the gift to be able to write in poems the gospel. You heard him preach if you were here while I was gone. It's our very nature to look to our own strength. Look what I had done. But those who have had the state of man revealed to their hearts quickly understand that all power comes from God. Oh, we want to say, I did this, I did that, but God will not let this stand if you belong to Him. It's called chastening. Most often, our Lord must bring His child to their very knees. He must bring them to their very knees first so that they may see their lack of strength, so that they will see their need of Him. It's like one must see the sinner that they are before they can see the Savior of sin. You must see that you need a physician before God will come and heal you. But He who was without sin and was made sin, that we who are sin may be made righteous in Him. He is also the creator of all that is. And with that kind of power, could anything separate you? Separate His people from Himself? No. If it could, then He wouldn't be called God, would He? God means all power of everything. We don't even understand what the scope of that title is. We see a little bit of what creation is, and we get a little glimpse of what He shows us in His Word. But the day is coming when His people will stand before Christ Jesus and see the true meaning of what God is. Everything. All power is His, because He is power. Salvation is of the Lord, and if it is not of Him, and if it is of Him, then can it be lost? No. Can it be taken? No. Or in other words, can it fail? No, absolutely not. Anyone who preaches that their God could fail or lose something, they're just wasting their time. A God who loves everybody and has left it up to you to decide, that's a God who hasn't won anything. He's left it for you to decide, which puts you as God. No. The God of Scriptures, Jesus Christ the Lord of all things, sovereign God of everything, all are His. The God of all glory is perfect in all ways, and that includes His plan for salvation for each and every one of His people. Look at the first 9 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, will you? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now remember, faith is a gift of God. If you're faithful to Christ Jesus, it's because God has given you the faith to be. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What peace could we have if we didn't believe that God is keeping us and preserving us unto himself and to the day of Jesus Christ? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If our blessings are in Christ, could it be lost in any way? The very fact that it is God Almighty in the flesh preserves those blessings for us. Not just preserves it, but purposes everything that we see for those blessings. Everything that happens for those blessings. And those blessings in heavenly places in Christ are ours according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love. In love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. If it's his will, can anything change it? That was one of the things that caught my ear very first when I heard the gospel preached, when I was sitting right over here where Kathy is with Lee and Shirley. This man standing up here in this pulpit is talking about somebody who deserves to be called God. This is the first man I'd ever heard talk about God as the ruler of everything. They use the word sovereign. That's all power. He rules everything. We mentioned it in Bible study. He knows the hairs on your head. The details. The very details about you. This is who God is. This is who the God of Scripture is. And he has chosen the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Preserving grace is his grace. And if it's his grace, it's going to work. It's going to happen. Wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, if you would, I'd like you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's not one spot, not one word that we just read that man can claim credit for. It is all of him. It is all of him, or you are doomed to face the consequences of your sin. Either Christ is all your strength, or you are trusting in something that you have done, and you will face that very thing in eternity of hell. You see, God will not share his glory with another. Preserving grace may let us falter, but he will never let us go. Promises like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. These are promises that God's people take to the heart, because God has put them on our hearts. In preserving grace, he has put that very phrase on my heart to say every time, to remind John Reeves, to remind me that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when I get to feeling like David did a moment ago, They will be my people, our Lord says, and I will be their God. These are promises. These are promises that our Lord has given to his people. It doesn't say they might be my people. Some may be my people. He says they will be my people. And I will be their God. The promises of God is what preserves us and gets us through the troubles of this world. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In Numbers 23:19 it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Or in Isaiah 46:11 it says, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. That's persevering grace right there. Preserving grace. Grace to remind us that our Lord has done it all. When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, it was finished. Salvation is of the Lord. If God be for you, could anything separate you from the love which is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, then he could not be called God. If Christ has begun a good work in you, will he perfect it? Yes, he will. And if you have been called to the knowledge and the faith of who Christ is, that he is God Almighty in the flesh, creator of all that is, ruler, sovereign ruler over everything, if you have been called to the knowledge and faith of what Christ did, he went to the cross to save all his chosen people, all his elect. And the perfect blood that was shed on that cross covers every sin of every one of his elect. Not just the sins that we committed, not just the sins that we might commit today, but every sin that we will commit until the day we stand in his presence. If you've been called to the knowledge and the faith of what Christ is doing right now, he's sitting on his throne as sovereign ruler over everything. If you've been called to that knowledge, to know that in your heart. See, it's more than just a head knowledge. A lot of people know, you know, the devils know that Christ is God Almighty. But they also know that Christ didn't die for them. I know that Christ has died for me. It's of the heart. If you know these things of the heart, can God let you go? Because he only does that to those that he loves. Nothing, our Lord says, can separate us from the love of Christ. Are you with me in 1 Thessalonians? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. The breastplate of faith. Do you believe God's word? I had to be reminded of that by our own Pastor Gene Harmon this very week. You know, I call him every day. I know I've told you that. But he reminded me that I was telling you this very thing because I was weak in the flesh of one day and I was looking to my good friend and pastor for some encouraging words on how to continue and what the Lord has given me to do. And Gene stopped me and he says, "You know, John, you just told the people of the congregation in the last message, you need to look to Christ, you need to trust in the Lord." Something we have to be reminded of all the time. Preserving grace is not something we're just going to read about today. We need to go out the doors and remember that our Lord is keeping us. Even when we run into a deer, our Lord is keeping us. Even when the thoughts of sin may go through our mind. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly and comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not the prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be what? Preserved. Kept. Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 24. Let's come to a close with this very verse. And the very God of peace. Nope, that's 23. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The very God who calls us out of darkness and gives life to his people. Everlasting life. Is the one who will do it. And if Christ Jesus says he will do it, he will. Do it. Preserving grace. Would you stand with me, please?